My text verse this morning is the last verse that we read, Acts chapter 12, verse 11, where the Bible says, "And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." This morning I want to preach on the subject, delivered. Delivered. And just like Peter knew for sure, that's what that word surety means. Just like he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was delivered from Herod, so we can know that we are delivered from sin, delivered from Satan, delivered from the punishment of sin. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, the Bible says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." And I'm so glad that we have a salvation, that we can know that we've been delivered from sin. Of course, in this story, Peter was imprisoned by Herod. Now, this Herod was the grandson of Herod the Great, the Herod that the wise men visited, the Herod that killed all the babies trying to kill him that was born king of the Jews. He had a nephew called Herod that had already beheaded John the Baptist. And you see, the cruelty that was used to fight the kingdom of God passed from generation to generation to generation. And this particular Herod had already killed James, the brother of Christ, or James, I'm sorry, the brother of John, was looking forward to killing Peter after Easter because the Bible says it pleased the Jews. As Adam read, he was delivered to 16 soldiers, 4 kept guard at all times. He was chained to 2 of them in his prison cell, and then 2 stood outside the door of his cell. And again, Herod's plan was to put him to death after the Passover. And again, to please the Jews. You see, the Jews had a religion, but it didn't impact what they did. They crucified Christ, but they didn't want to leave his body on the cross for the Sabbath. They were going to kill Peter, but not on the Passover. And I'll just tell you this morning, it's not part of my sermon, but if you have a religion that doesn't change what's going on in your life, then your religion ain't much. If you have a religion that doesn't impact what you do, then your religion ain't much. I'm so glad that we have a religion, a God, a Savior that chains us. The Bible says when we get saved, all things become new. And we sing that song, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart." Now, you say, "Preacher, I haven't experienced that change." Well, I'll just ask you, how stubborn are you? How much is God working on you? Because he wants to, and he will change you if you give him something to work with. But Peter's condition as he was in this prison, as he was waiting to die, paints a picture of what every lost sinner, the condition that every lost sinner is in. See, I'll just remind you this morning, all of us here are sinners. Some of us are saved, and some of us are not saved. Some of us are free from the condemnation and the punishment of sin. Others are still under it. And if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can identify with Peter. Because he was in prison. He was about to die. He was guarded by guards that were not going to let him out. And there was nothing that he could do to escape on his own. I mean, he had no power to break the chains. He had no power to overcome the guards that were chained to him. He had no power to open the door of the prison. He had no power to overcome the 2 soldiers that stood outside the door. There was nothing that he could do to escape the sure death that awaited him tomorrow. And I'll just be honest with you, as a sinner, unsaved sinner here this morning, there is nothing that you can do on your own to escape that fate. You are under the condemnation of sin. You are headed for hell. Satan has got you all wrapped up, and there's nothing that you can do to break his power. There's nothing that you can do to pay for your sin. There's nothing that you can do to escape hell on your own. Just like Peter couldn't do nothing. But the Bible says that Peter was prayed for. In verse 5, "But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." You know, troubles come into a Christian's life. These people that preach when you get saved, everything's going to be rosy and you're going to live on the mountaintop the rest of your life and nothing's going to go wrong. They're telling you a lie. I mean, we are going to have troubles in our life. I mean, it happened in Jerusalem. Stephen, the deacon, was stoned. The church was persecuted and the saints were scattered all over the world. Famine took place. That's why Paul was bringing relief and help from Antioch to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 14, 15. James was one of the early leaders of the church. He was killed already, and now Peter was put in prison. And what did the church do? They gathered together and prayed. I mean, it was a united prayer because they came together to offer that prayer. It was a persevering prayer. The Bible says they prayed, as it tells us to do, without ceasing for him. It was a specific prayer. They asked for Peter to be delivered from this fate that awaited him. And it was earnest prayer. I think there were many tears. I think there were many heartaches that were put into those prayers for Peter. Now, God allows trials in our life. He wants us to draw closer to him. He wants us to learn to trust him. He wants us to learn to depend on him. The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please him. But he wants us also to pray for not only ourselves, but to pray for others. And one of the things that we need to pray for is that other people will be saved. One of the things that we need to pray for is that they will be freed from the shackles of sin and from the bindings that Satan has in them and from the fate that they have to go to hell. And one of the things we as a church and we as individual Christians need to do is uplift those people that don't know Jesus Christ, that they would come to know him. You see, back in Peter's day, the church could not break into prison. The church could not release Peter from his chains. The church could not open the prison door. The church could not overcome the soldiers that guarded him. But the church could go to somebody that could. And that's exactly what they did. They prayed and they asked God to free Peter. This morning, the church can't break sin's hold on you. This morning, the church can't overcome Satan and his demons. This morning, the church can't save you from death, but we can go to somebody that can and ask him to do that. And that's exactly what we do when we pray for somebody that's lost, when we pray for somebody that needs to be saved. We go to God on their behalf, and we beg God, just like these Christians did back here in Acts chapter 12, and we asked that you be delivered from the punishment of sin. The Bible says in the book of James, chapter 5, verse 16, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It sure did for Peter. He was delivered. And it will for people today. I want you to notice, as I was reading this passage of scripture a while ago, there's some things that just sort of jumped out at me that sort of paints the picture of what happens in a person's life when they get to know Jesus Christ. I mean, Peter was delivered from the prison. We are delivered from hell. And I want you to notice some of the things that happened that are similar as to what happened to Peter and what happens to us. First of all, I would point out to you that a light shined in the prison. It was dark. It was nighttime. Peter was laying there in the prison, chained to two soldiers, knowing that he faced death on the morrow. And then he saw a light. And everything changed. In Acts chapter 9, Saul of Tarsus was on his way to Damascus. He was going to arrest Christians. And on that road to Damascus, the Bible says, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Who is that light? Somebody tell me. Jesus. The light of the world is Jesus. The song says, the whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, his glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are living in spiritual darkness. I mean, like we talked about in Sunday school, you may be here today and don't even know that you're headed for hell. You may think, hey, I'm a pretty good guy, and I try to do good things, and my mom and dad were Christians, and my grandpa and grandma were Christians. Surely God will love me and take me to heaven. I got news for you. Your heritage won't save you, and your good works won't save you, and a church can't save you. There's one thing that you need to see above everything else. You need to see the light of the world. And I'll tell you what, if you're here today and you're lost, He wants to shine in your life. I mean, you can be at the darkest point of your life. You can be sort of like Peter was, in prison, laying between two guards, knowing that on tomorrow you're going to lose your life. And it seems like at the darkest hour, sometimes it takes the darkest hour for people to open their eyes and see the light. I got news for you this morning. It doesn't matter what situation you're in. Doesn't matter what the circumstances of your life are. It doesn't matter how low you've got. The light of the world still wants to shine in your life and will do it if you open your eyes and see it. The light shined in the prison. Number two, the Bible says the angel smote him. The angels hit him. I mean, he was, I don't know if he was sleeping or just had his eyes closed resting like Nick is now, but I'm just teasing. But the angels came over and said, hey, Peter, wake up, man, smote him. And to get his attention so that he could work that. Now, he really didn't have his eyes closed. I want to correct any misconception I may have created by that statement. He is awake, alert, taking notes. But the angel came and shook Peter. Said, Peter, open up your eyes. See the light. I want to do something in your, God wants to do something in your life, but you gotta wake up. And the same thing, God does that to people today. Those people that maybe haven't seen the light won't open their light eyes to see the light. Or those people that see the light and don't understand what it is. God comes to them and He shakes them and says, look, I'm trying to get your attention. I want to do something in your life. Wake up! You say, preacher, you mean God actually comes and shakes us like that? No. But He'll send something into your life to get your attention. And some of those things we may look at as bad. And we would not want them to happen in our life. But I'll tell you something this morning. God loves you so much that He'll do whatever's necessary to get your attention, to bring you to His Son, Jesus Christ. And if He has to shake the very foundation of your world to get your attention, if he has to put you into sickness, if He has to take your family, if He has to do the things that we think are bad, you need to know that God is doing that to try to get your attention to bring you to Him. Because He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I've said this before, and I believe with all my heart, if a person goes to hell, it's because they've walked over the blood of Jesus Christ and every warning that God has sent into their life. You listen to me this morning. If you're not saved, God's going to get your attention. You're going to have to decide. You're going to have to decide for Jesus, or you're going to have to decide against Him. And God's just not going to let you drift away from that decision. He's going to bring you face to face with it. He's going to smote you and get your attention and say, you need to decide and see the light of the world. And then the Bible says the angel raised him up. He said, rise up quickly. And I think he sort of stuck at his hand and raised Peter up, just like Jesus did earlier in Peter's life when he was trying to walk on the sea in the middle of the storm. Remember, they were in the middle of a storm. Jesus came walking on the water. And Peter said, Lord, if it's really you, let me come to you on the water. And Jesus said, okay, come on. And Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water. And he was headed toward Jesus. And then he took his eyes off Christ. And he started looking at the storm. He saw the wind and the waves. He started to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. See, when you're in trouble, you don't try to word a fancy prayer. You sit right down to business. Lord, save me. And the Bible says that Jesus reached out His hand and raised him up from the sea. I think that's what the angel did this night. The light shined. The angel smote him to get his attention. And then said, hey, come on, get up. Get up. Get up. That's exactly what God wants to do for you today. The light shining. He's trying to get your attention. The fact that you're here, it's working. He says, get up. Get up. Take my hand and get up. We sing the song, I was sinking deep in sin. Far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Love lifted me. Sometimes we sing it, Christ lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. You notice what happened next? The chains fell off. Hey, it wasn't a process. It didn't happen over a period of time. Yeah, Peter didn't have to, you know, start moving and do anything. He got he was lifted up and the chains fell off. The sure death that he faced on the morrow, even though he didn't realize it yet, fell off. The condemnation that he was under fell off. And the same thing will happen to you right now. You see the light and you let God get your attention and you put your hand in his and he lifts you up. I'll guarantee you the chains will fall off. The condemnation that you have will fall off. Your destiny and future in hell will fall off. It's not a process. It's not something that happens over time as you get better and you earn it. It happens instantaneously the moment you ask Jesus to be your Savior. The chains fall off. You're no longer headed for hell. You're headed for heaven. You're no longer under the condemnation of sin. You wear the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And it can change in a moment. This morning, if you're here and you don't know Christ, you're still bound with the chains of sin. You're still condemned on the punishment of sin. But this morning, if you'll put your hand in the hand of the Savior, if you'll trust him, those chains will fall off. Number five, the angel said, hey, gird yourself on, put your cloak on and put your sandals on. And I think that says to us that God doesn't just save us. He says, hey, get up and get busy. Got something for you to do. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. When he saves you, when those chains fall off, it's not just so you can sit around and play a harp and eat bonbons. So you can go to work. You can tell other people about Jesus. You invite them to church. You can raise your kids. You influence your family. Testify to those that you love. Says, get up. And then number six, the Bible says, he wist not that it was true. Peter thought he was dreaming. He said, this can't be happening to me. It's too good to be true. Here I'm chained between two soldiers. I know Herod's going to kill me in the morning, just like he did James. I must be dreaming what's happening because it's just too wonderful to really happen. You know, a lot of us when we got saved felt the same way. We realized that we were sinners, wicked sinners, and God sent his son to die in our place. He sent his son to pay what we owed. And many of us, when that first happened, said, I just can't believe it. Why would God do something like that for me? I want to tell you something. I've been saved almost 42 years, and I still don't understand why he would do it. I still sometimes wonder, how could it be? How can a God who created the universe take the time to notice me and send his son to die in my place? How can it be? The psalmist, when he was looking up into the heavens and saw the moon and the stars and all the things that God has made, he said, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visited him? And I've encouraged you over and over again, don't ever get over the wonder of your salvation. Don't ever get to the point, where you start to thinking, I deserved it. God had to do it for me. You don't deserve it, and he didn't have to do it. He did it because he loved you. He loved you so much. And if we ever get to the point where we think we've deserved it, we've lost the wonder of our salvation. I'm only a sinner, but I'm saved by grace because I have a God who loves me. And then number 7, I want you to notice what Peter did. He went to the church and he told them what great things that God had done for him. You remember the story, and we didn't read it, but it's later on in the chapter. They were met at John Mark's mother's house. The church was there in prayer meeting. Peter comes to the door. I mean, after having walked out of the prison, knocks on the door. A little girl named Rhoda came to the door, and Peter was whispering because he didn't want anybody to find him. He said, "Rhoda, Rhoda, it's Peter. Let me in." And I don't know that the conversation's not recorded in the Bible. Maybe the little girl said, "Who is it? Who is it? It's Peter. Let me in. It's Peter. It's Peter." She got all excited. I mean, she ran back into the house and she interrupted the prayer meeting. You know, if some of our kids did this today, we'd whoop them. But she came back into the house and said, "Hey, you'll never guess who's at the door. Peter's at the door." And one of the saintly adults said, "Oh, no, he's not. He's in jail. He's going to be killed. Now, we're praying for him. Just be quiet so we can pray." You know, sometimes that's the way we are. When God answers our prayer, we say, "Oh, just be quiet. I'm still praying." And we don't realize that God's answered. And Rose said, "No, he's at the door. You got to go see. He's standing at the door. He's knocking at the door." And sooner or later, one of the old adults that were worried more about praying than seeing answers to prayer, he went to the door and slid back the latch. And Peter said, "Hey, it's me. Let me in." And he came in, and they had a time of rejoicing because God answered their prayer. I want to tell you something. You come this morning and ask Jesus to be your Savior, we'll do some rejoicing around here. The Bible says there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. And if there's joy in heaven, there ought to be joy down here every time somebody comes and asks Jesus to be their Savior. Now, again, I know most of us this morning have been saved. We've asked Jesus to be our Savior. That's wonderful. Are you praying for somebody? If you're saved, that's what you ought to be doing. Are you praying for somebody to get the same thing you got? Meet the same Christ you did? That's good. That's what we ought to be doing. But if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, God's trying to get your attention this morning. He's shaking you. He says, "Open your eyes so you can see the light of the world." He wants to lift you up, get you out of that sinking sand and set you on a rock and give you a home in heaven. All you got to do is come and take it. Bible says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." I'm not asking you to join the church this morning, although there are some here that are planning to join the church, and I want you to come in just a moment. But I'm not asking you to join the church to get saved. Joining the church won't save you. We're going to baptize this morning. Getting baptized won't save you. The only thing that will save you is a relationship with Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you need to come to him today. He'll lift you up. He'll give you a home in heaven. He'll make all the chains fall off, and you'll be free indeed. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today, for the message of salvation that you make so plain to all of us. And I rejoice this morning because I know that the majority of people here know Jesus as their Savior. They've been saved. They're on their way to heaven. But Father, I can't help but think there's some here that's never made that decision. They've never asked Christ to save them. They're still bound by sin, still headed for hell. I pray this morning that they would open their eyes and see the light of the world, that they would see the hand that's outstretched from Calvary's cross to lift them from their sin and put them on a rock. And I pray this morning they would put their hand in that hand and they would ask Jesus to be their Savior. Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. Help us to be about the business that you saved us to be about. Telling other people about you. Working and showing that you have made a change in our life. And that we trust you and we serve you. I pray, Father, that you bless this time of invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.